Hey everyone, and welcome to Developer Tea. My name is Jonathan Cottrell, and today is the second part of my interview with Paul and Sean. They are the hosts of a brand new show on spec.fm called Does Not Compute. If you missed the first part of the interview, make sure you go back and listen to that first. You can always subscribe to Developer Tea in iTunes and whatever podcasting app that you choose to use. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and thank you to today's sponsor, Hired.com. If you are a developer or a designer that is looking for a job, Hired should be where you begin your journey. Hired.com, we'll talk more about them later on in the show. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Now let's get to the rest of the interview with Paul and Sean from Does Not Compute. I wanted to talk to you guys about ES6. I'd love to know what you think about ES6. What are your favorite parts of the new spec, and kind of maybe things that you don't like about it? I have something that I don't really like about it, but I want to hear from you guys first.
Paul, I'll let you field this first.
So I don't think Sean or myself have really used ES6 a ton. Octopus as a whole is a... We're actually a coffee script shop.
Oh, okay.
Which... we'll probably draw a bit of hate, but that's all right. So ES6 to me is interesting. ES6, ES7, the whole thing to me is kind of interesting because a lot of the people who really strongly advocate for it are also really against things like CoffeeScript. But at the same time, they say, oh, you need Babel or whatever. You need something to transpile it from ES6 into ES5 compatible code. So that to me, at least, feels like kind of solving the same problems in just a slightly different way. There's stuff like, you know, the arrow functions and classes and destructuring that you have in ES6 that CoffeeScript has provided for years really well. And not to say there's anything like ES6 is inherently bad or it'll never be useful, but right now, if you need to support a wide range of browsers, I think that it's not necessarily always a great choice.
Okay. All right. And let's hear from Sean on that, because I have my feelings. I'm gonna tell you guys what I feel about CoffeeScript after this.
Well, I actually have a little bit of experience with ES6. I've messed with React Native a little bit as well. And I guess I can only say this because of my previous experience with CoffeeScript, in that when I'm using ES6, I just want to write CoffeeScript. And I guess I can say the same thing when I'm writing regular JavaScript, ES5. I just want to use CoffeeScript. But I do, honestly, I mean, I'm a fan of progress and improvement, right? And so there's a lot of things in ES6 that are coming out, like arrow functions, for example, that, you know, people are taking advantage of. And I think that's great. You know, I think that progress is good. So, you know, I'm all for it. You know, it's interesting because I have taken some flack from people when I talk about CoffeeScript because they say things like, oh, well, you have to transpile, you know, but then I'm thinking, well, you're using Babel anyway, so you're doing the same thing, right? But at the end of the day, you know, if you're productive with ES6, go for it. You know, I'm cheering you on. I'm productive with CoffeeScript. So
sure. And I guess, so that's really my opinion wrapped up as well. Like, if you like CoffeeScript, that's fine. Like, don't let anybody tell you that you're wrong for liking CoffeeScript. The reality is there's going to be a compiler for CoffeeScript for the foreseeable future. So what you are learning about CoffeeScript is not going to be moot all of a sudden. And a lot of the stuff in CoffeeScript actually maps pretty decently to ES6. So whenever ES6 becomes standardized and a critical mass of people are using it, then the transpiler is just going to transpile to ES6. And it's not a big deal. You know, it's totally fine. I personally never got over onto the CoffeeScript train, even though a lot of logical people said that I should. And looking back, I probably should have, because, you know, it just protects you in a lot of different ways from writing stupid stuff in JavaScript.
Yeah, it does. It does. It really does.
But I never did that. When ES6 stuff started coming out and I started seeing like tail call optimization and, you know, all the other little stuff that eventually is going to actually make a difference in, you know, how JavaScript works in the browser, like for real JavaScript, not just, you know, compiled JavaScript or transpiled JavaScript rather. That got really interesting to me. I think for a lot of people who are coming from writing JavaScript, that ES6 is going to be really attractive, right? Because I'm not used to the white space. I'm not used to some of the other, you know, little pieces of CoffeeScript. Now, I will say this. If you are a Ruby developer and or a Python developer, then you're going to have a much easier time with CoffeeScript than someone who isn't, who doesn't have experience with those languages, I think. What would you guys say about that?
I think that's completely true. But also, for me personally, I was pretty much just a JavaScript developer at the time when I initially picked up CoffeeScript. I was sort of an early adopter there. And for me, a lot of the stuff, what's really interesting to me is that a lot of the stuff that CoffeeScript has provided since the beginning, you know, the arrows and the triple quotes for essentially what amounts to template strings, and just all that sort of stuff. The question mark operator, all that stuff. It's like a lot of that has been copied over to ES6. And I think that's really interesting because I'm super excited to see what Coffee ends up doing next. Because I feel like it's almost an indicator of what's going to come to mainstream JavaScript a few years after that.
Yeah, I agree. I think some of these, you know, pre-compile languages, like even if you jump over to CSS stuff, Sass or Less, some of this stuff has made an impact in some way on the spec for future stuff in CSS Core. For example, we're going to get nested stuff eventually in CSS because we've seen it kind of proven in these other pre-compiled languages. We've seen it the model has just been proven over and over by large companies adopting these pre-compiled languages and using them with pretty decent success.
Totally.
Cool. So we know where we stand on CoffeeScript versus ES6, I think. I do think that that JavaScript is a very important and increasingly important language. I talked to Eric Elliott on the show a few weeks back, and we talked about JavaScript pretty much the whole time. But I think JavaScript is kind of one of those base level languages now, whereas that used to. Well, I won't go so far as to say that, but I do think that JavaScript is going to be a fundamental language, and a lot more universities will probably pick it up in the coming years because it is now becoming kind of that available everywhere language.
Yeah, it's something that any new programmer kind of almost needs to know JavaScript at this point, just because it is so ubiquitous. It's everywhere, and you can use it on the client, you can use it on the server. It's getting faster and faster every day. And it's just something that if you learn JavaScript, you're not going to be sad that you learned JavaScript.
Yeah, yeah, it's not time wasted.
Right.
And some of the syntax is really so close to other stuff that once you leave JavaScript, it'll be like you've already learned parts of other languages.
I think that's one of the great things about programming, and that's something that I tell everybody anytime I'm, you know, helping a person who's new to programming or whatever, or even, you know, a moderately experienced person. It's like, should I learn this language? It doesn't matter. Go ahead and learn it, because all of the skills, 90% of the skills that you're going to learn from that language are completely portable. When you understand the concept of objects, it doesn't matter if somebody calls it something else. It doesn't matter if somebody calls it a table in a different language, or if somebody calls it a hash or whatever. Like, you kind of get that. And there are semantic differences, but overall, picking up one language is kind of like picking up 20 to 30% of every language.
Yeah, I agree. An interesting thing about JavaScript is that you can practice different paradigms in JavaScript. And that's, I think that's the biggest difference between languages is, you know, what is the underlying paradigm for this particular language? For example, Ruby is a class-oriented language with inheritance and metaprogramming. Whereas JavaScript, you have like, you can do functional, or you can do completely declarative, or you can do, you know, something kind of like classical inheritance, or you can do prototypical. I never know what the word is. Anyway, prototypes. You can do inheritance through prototypes in JavaScript. There are many different things that you can implement in JavaScript that you can't necessarily you know, I can't really practice functions in or functional programming in Ruby as cleanly as I could in JavaScript. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick sponsor break and talk about Hired.com, today's sponsor. Hired is the place to go if you are looking for a job as a designer or a developer. They source companies around the world that are looking for people to fill positions for equity, for salary, designers and developers. You get the offer up front. You don't even have to talk to the company before you see the offer, by the way, so it avoids any kind of awkward conversations. You sign up and then they find you the offers, of course. You go through the normal hiring processes for that particular company, but you also get a bonus from Hired.com of $2,000. That's their normal bonus, at least. But if you use the special link that you can find in the show notes at spec.fm, you can actually double that bonus from $2,000 to $4,000. That's only if you use the special link in the show notes. And the cool thing is you get up to 5 offers in a given week, and it's 100% free for you. So if you're already job hunting, there's really nothing to lose and you have so much to gain. Go and check it out, hired.com. Don't forget to use the link in the show notes to double your bonus to $4,000. You can find those at spec.fm. Thanks, Hired. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get to the kind of the last questions I always ask my interviewees. And I'll ask you both at the same time and then you can take turns answering. All right, so if you could give any advice to pretty much all programmers, regardless of their age or their experience level, what advice would you give?
Looking back at it now, I guess one of my answers would be don't let people bully you into making decisions. I feel, you know, hanging out in a couple of different Slacks, obviously the Spec Slack and the Slash Rocket Slack, I see people asking questions like, what should I use or what tools should I use? And then I see a barrage of answers and people basically saying, if you don't use this, you're incorrect or you're doing it wrong, which I think is not helpful at all. And so if you're new to programming, you're learning and there's something you're interested in, like if React looks cool to you, then that's awesome. Obviously, I mean, you should learn JavaScript first, but you know, don't let people push you around in those decisions. Obviously, you should find some people that you look up to and you allow them to speak into your programming life, but don't just jump on every trend that comes across, because trends, they come and they go. But the underlying concepts of programming and JavaScript, like the basics, they will always be there.
That's great.
That's kind of just good life advice. Like, don't let people bully you into thinking a certain thing.
Yeah, that's good.
For me, I think it would be go make a blog. Like, whether, and I guess this isn't for completely new people, but if you're just starting out trying to learn backend stuff, go make a blog. If you've been programming for 15 years, go make a blog, because the blog that will come out of somebody who's been programming Ruby for a month and the blog that will come out of somebody who's been programming a bunch of different languages for 10, 20 years, those are going to be two completely different products. And that's one of the really cool things, because you can make a blog as simple or as complex as you want. And that's just such a cool project, because, you know, you have user authentication, you have the permalinks you have to deal with, you have image uploading and processing. There's
relationships.
Yeah. There's so many different things that you can get out of a blog. I think it's one of the most flexible models, as it were, for a thing to make. It just scales so well for different skill levels.
Absolutely. It's especially true if you have a multi-user blog. That's when things get really interesting, when you have multi-authors, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
And somebody who's brand new, they don't need to think about that. It's just going to be their personal blog. But if you're a really good programmer, add in multiple users, add in permission levels, add in different types of post, add in all that stuff. But it fits to what you're ready to do.
And if you don't like the word blog for that, if that sounds too reductive to you, then call it a publishing platform. As it turns out, that is still a very big thing on the web. So, you know, whatever you want to call it, blog is kind of the canonical term for it. But some people think that that's like too easy of a project. It's not. I can go ahead and tell you it's not. I've built a lot of these things and they have unique problems. In every single case, I'm learning something.
Yeah, it can be anything from the simplest project to the most complex.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Vox Media team, they have their Chorus platform that they have a bunch of developers on who work on it full time.
Yeah, so if you think that's easy.
Right.
And if you want to, you know, if you're maybe comfortable with your backend chops and you want to work on your front end chops, build a blog with the WordPress API maybe, or make your own API in the Rails API or with Rails API and use React or Vue, or probably use Vue. And build that, like Adam Simpson just built his blog using React and the WordPress API. And at first I was like, why would you do that? But then I was thinking about it and it makes sense because, you know, he wanted to learn something and it's a personal project and, you know, there's a server, there's content that you need to pull from. It's just like a perfect way to learn.
Okay. So, the second question, and this is the last question before we sign off for the day. The second question is, what do you wish people would ask you about more often?
That's a really good question. And I've never been asked that before, actually.
I think I've got an answer.
Go for it.
Anything. I feel like there's such a big, it's kind of a big problem in programming. And the technology industry as a whole is like, people feeling like they're dumb if they ask some question. Mm. And I don't think that's the case at all. There are so many people, and Sean and I actually talked about this in an upcoming episode of Does Not Compute, but there's not, people in the tech industry really want to help, especially people who hang out in the Slack channel for spec or the Slack channel for
Slash Rocket.
Yeah. Those people are there because they want to help you learn. They're there because they want to like hang out and just talk about cool things and just explain stuff. So just ask whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This community is generally really friendly. And if somebody's not, then they're a jerk anyway. So forget them. But there are so many people out there who really do just want to help you.
That's very true. And to kind of piggyback on that, I find that, so Paul and I basically look at each other because our desks are facing opposite directions. And so a lot of times I'll lean over and I'll just start talking at him and I'm not necessarily trying to communicate to him. I'm talking at him, and as I'm talking at him or asking him questions, I actually find the solution that I'm looking for. And so I find that by asking questions, you learn, by learning how to frame your questions rather, you actually can find, you can come up with a solution a lot faster.
Rubber ducky, you're the one.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, like what Paul said, ask any questions. There are no dumb questions. And if people say there are dumb questions, then ignore them. It's all relative anyway, right?
Absolutely.
You know, so just go and ask. So how I learned, you know, was just by asking people. I had Paul as a Skype contact for a year, and I messaged him incessantly for a year. And it turned into a job, you know, so... Just ask anybody. And if you don't know who to ask, hit me and Paul up, hit Jonathan up, you know, anyone in spec, just ask us any questions and we'll always want to answer them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Please come and join us. Or if you want to be in the spec Slack, by the way, spec.fm/Slack, that will be in the show notes, of course, which you can find at spec.fm. But at that point, you would probably just click the big Slack logo that you see on spec. But we would love to have you join us. There are over 1,000 people in that Slack community now, guys. It's pretty incredible, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it grew so fast.
Yeah, it did. I'm so glad that you guys are going to be a part of Spec. It is so exciting for me to see another set of really smart, awesome developer people who are doing podcasts, and they're doing it with me on Spec. That's really cool.
We're just happy to be a part. You know, the Spec is doing some really, really great stuff. And I've been consuming Spec's products for a while now. So for me, it's kind of a, wow, what just happened sort of deal. But we're very happy to be a part.
It's exciting. When is the first episode officially?
Tuesday the 13th. Ah, so this coming Tuesday.
So it will have been out by the time that this episode airs. So if you are listening to this, make sure you go to spec.fm, actually. It will be right there available for you. Of course, they will be on iTunes and all those other providers that you already use Developer T on. And go and subscribe. Do this right now. I'm gonna be a little bit greedy for them because they won't be greedy here. I don't know. Would you guys be? I guess you guys probably wouldn't be greedy. I'm gonna tell you to go and subscribe to Does Not Compute right now in whatever podcasting app that you use so that you don't miss a single episode of Paul and Sean. You guys enjoy their voices just as much as I do, I'm sure.
This has been super fun, Jonathan. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Developer Tea, my interview with Paul and Sean from Does Not Compute, the latest addition to the Spec family. You can join us and talk to all of us in Slack, in our Slack community. You can find us at spec.fm/Slack. Sign up and you can discuss just about anything you want to. We each of the shows has its own room, and we talk about the show. We talk about, you know, even programming issues and problems. And I'm in there, and so are Paul and Sean. We have a great time there. So go and check it out, spec.fm/Slack. Don't forget to subscribe to Does Not Compute in whatever podcasting app that you use, and subscribe to Developer Tea while you're at it. You won't miss any episodes of either show. That would be great for us and great for you, wouldn't it? So make sure you subscribe in whatever podcasting app you use to Does Not Compute and Developer Tea. Thank you for listening to today's episode, and thank you to Hired.com, today's awesome sponsor. If you are looking for a job as a designer or a developer, and you want a $4,000 bonus instead of a $2,000 bonus, go to the show notes at spec.fm, click on the link for a Hired, and it will take you to a special version of Hired.com that will double your bonus. Check it out, Hired.com. Thank you again to Hired. Thank you again to Paul and Sean. And thank you to you for listening to Developer Tea. And until next time, enjoy your tea.